Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Elks Talkers Podcast, the show by Elks for Elks. I'm your host, Will Elkson, joined as always by my... Wait, something's wrong. We're not Elks, are we?
Speak for yourself, sir. I have horns.
There's too many jokes about you being horny. All right, we're going to try this again. Take two. All right, let's do this again. Greetings, salutations, and finally welcome to the Plane Stalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I am your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my Elktastic, and did not do as well as I did last week at Friday Night Magic co-host, Will Aramis Perez. Aramis Perez, how are you tonight, sir?
You gotta take them where you can get them, huh?
I gotta take them where... Dude, when is that ever happening again? Name it.
Never.
Oh, we have so much to go over tonight.
Untap a keep and draw.
What else can we do but go right into it? We've got a ton. We are going to talk a little bit about Friday Night Magic. We're going to touch on it anyway. We won't go too terribly deep, although I did have a pretty good week. Our main phase is more dead horse beating. So, you know, we're just basically going to...
Okay.
So we're going to beat that horse a little bit more, talk a little bit about Oko, and then combat phase, we're not sure yet. So if something comes up, we'll hit it, and if not, we might just skip it. But main two is chock full of crazy stuff. We've got the Arena Artisan event. We've got Theros Beyond Death spoilers. Now, just to let you all know, we're not going to talk about the spoilers. All right, we're not going to go into cards or anything like that because we don't know, you know, it's... I shouldn't even say spoilers. This is more leaks.
It's an actual spoiler.
Yeah, it's like legit spoilers.
This is an honest-to-God spoiler.
And then we want to talk a little bit. There was some bannings today with the Pioneer format. And yes, we do have the drawing from the podcast reviews that we're going to go and do today. This is a chock-full show, but the first thing, as always, it is untapped. So, you know, I'm going to untap my last... I'm not sure how this is going to taste. Mango wheat?
Ooh.
Blue Moon? Mango wheat. So this will be either really, really good or
so
really,
I'm
really
thinking
bad.
Mango-flavored Rusty Pipes?
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Awesome.
So.
Tip it back. I got Sprite.
That's an interesting taste.
Interesting doesn't mean good.
It's actually not bad. It's almost an IPA-ish. It's got a very, like, it comes in with, like, a kind of a sweet and then a kind of sweet. It's really kind of, I think I might like it. But, you know, let's pivot off of there. Let's talk about Friday night because we did go to Kerwin's on Friday.
Yes.
We had a great time. Got a chance to talk to Steve a little bit about the state of stuff first going on. Steve's the owner. I personally went 3-1 with a non-tier deck, by the way. Let's just get that out there. I went 3-1 with a non-tier deck. I did really, really well. How'd you do?
I'm trying to think of... It was...
It was 1-1 and...
It was 2-2.
Well, no, it was 2-1-1.
No, 2-2. I lost that last match.
Oh, it counted as a loss.
Yeah, because he won the first game.
Oh, okay. Wow. So, yeah, that was a crazy night. I played the gate deck that I put together. And it was actually funny because Josh looks over to me and at one point, because he's sitting there and he looks at my deck and he just goes, "Wait, gates? You're playing gates?" I'm like... Yeah, it's kind of been working.
Yeah,
you know, and I have you to thank for it. I mean, you were the one who was like, you know, Field of the Dead is like gates on crack. And I was like, okay, if Field of the Dead is banned, can I use Theros? And it was actually kind of like a Gates Fire Fey of Wishes mashup that I put together. And it served me real well. I mean, game one, I played one of the students, Bev, and she really had a slow start. She was just playing a pre-con Planeswalker deck.
Yeah.
So... She was having some struggles. She didn't really know how it played yet, and you know she hit some problems. But I went 2-0 there. I played one of another student, Raymond, and he was playing some weird bastardized version of food. He got horrible draws and gained one. I got Kenrith out, turned six, and he had absolutely no chance after that. And then game two, he had me completely on my back foot. Like he really was applying great pressure. He was playing really well. He had Stone Coil Serpent out there, and then I managed to get it out. I managed to remove it, and he got Garrick out. And then I got Garrick out. He put his Mastodon out, and I removed the Mastodon. And then I got Golos out, Fae of Wishes into my own Garrick. And like I said, things went sideways there. And I went two. I think I went two over there. Then I placed. I faced the worst deck possible, Mono Red. That ended horribly. I went one. I won the middle game because he decided to keep a 5-land hand. In mono red, I'm like,
because you figured, you know, the odds of drawing more land, you're probably only playing 20 in the deck. So you're like, well, there's like half of them right there. So
yeah, well, he managed to draw a lot more. Oof. So I got lucky. Blood. But I mean, by both games, he had me dead. The ones he won, he had me dead by turn six. And then I faced Dimir Control, which he was the only other undefeated guy. It was Josh, the red deck, and then this Dimir Control guy.
I thought there was Bant Food that was also undefeated.
No, she lost to Dimir Control.
Okay.
So I think her name's Hannah. She lost to Dimir Control, and I was really worried about this deck too because Control can be kind of touch and go. But he got stuck on 4 mana. I encountered a ton of stuff, but I just started waiting him out and getting my stuff out when I could. He let a Guild Summit resolve, which, you know, now I've got card advantage. Cast Thief of Sanity on turn 6. I cast Fires. He couldn't counter it. Got my Angel out. Got 20 life. Cast Agent of Treachery. Took his guy away from him. He swept game 2. He got no mana. I got a turn 4 Fires. Gatebreaker Ram. Turn 5 Angel and Golos. Turn 6 Agent of Treachery. And he swept again. So it was crazy. So we got a whole bunch of people talking in the chat. Cody wants to know if we have any experience with Pioneer. We are going to talk about that. I do have a Pioneer deck. I did create the I'm starting to work on the Aetherworks Marvel deck. So I've got a pretty good shell around it. I need a few more cards. I want to try to find what is it? The Yacht in Time or whatever it is.
And Dig Through Time.
Yeah, Dig Through Times, a few other things. And then your wife says, my plan has been foiled. I'm assuming she means your plan has been foiled.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, I found the deck in Pioneer I think I want to play. I'm just going to probably wait to get the singles for it for another week or two. just to make sure things survive bans.
What are you trying to... Are you going to tell me what you're playing? Or?
Sure.
What is it?
You're not going to like it.
Oh, it's some sort of control.
Not really. Well, in a way, kind of. It has blue and green.
What are you playing? And Simic Nexus?
Yeah.
Are you really?
I think I'm going to put that together. The only thing I'm missing, I think, is a Tamiyo and then Oko stuff. No, there's no Oko in this list.
You could put Oko in it. It fits any deck.
Don't care about
Tell
Oko.
Me Oko does not fit any blue-green deck, man.
Nah. It has Thing in the Ice. So.
I love Thing in the Ice. Chris wants to know if we're going to be down for Gamers Revolt. That's the store I went to a few weeks ago. He's the owner. He's a good guy. Hope to. I can't get our students down there. It's too far, but I personally want to bring my kid down there. And then Curtis wanted us to know that he went 3-1 with Red Knights. So,
love FNM.
And he's won Pioneer Spirits. Oh.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I could see that.
I could see that too. So,
Chris Castillis is on Merfolk. That could be good.
He loves his Merfolk decks, man. He was telling me about it.
You could do worse than Merfolk. I mean, and the thing about Pioneer, like I said, it's wide open right now. So,
well, he's kind. You know what? You'd like Chris. I should get you to come down here some week because Chris is cool and he likes to play degenerate control piece of crap decks. So, you two would probably get along famously. But. What did you do? Like, how'd your decks do? What'd you lose? What'd you win?
Well, it was weird. There was a hitch in the initial pairings. I wasn't in...
That's right.
Yeah, I wasn't in the initial pairing, so they had to add me in as a buy for round one, so I got a free win there. So technically, I went 1-2, because I only played 3 actual matches of Magic. So the second round, I played one of the students, and... They were playing like, I think some sort of a adventure deck or something. And it was just, I mean, they had creatures in it. So my deck
was Nick?
It might've been Nick. I'm not sure.
Nick likes to play. He's been playing this green, white Selesnya. He doesn't have as much adventure in it.
Yeah. It was green, white Selesnya. And I was just like, oh, look, creatures. I like to kill creatures. So that was that one was pretty one-sided. Round 3, I played my worst nightmare and played against Oko. And,
Hannah?
Yeah, had and I lost game one. It was kind of back and forth. Game two, I got stuck on three lands. Nothing you could do about that.
No.
And then she also curved out beautifully. She went goose into druid into questing beast into Nissa
into maverick. No, I'm just kidding.
Because she played two Okos in the first game, and I killed them both within a turn of them dropping. So I didn't lose to Oko. So I can still say I haven't lost to Oko yet. And then round four, I played it in the mirror, because I was playing Esper Stacks. And I feel like that's a match that I think I could have won in the end, but unfortunately, I feel like my opponent was playing kind of slow. And I mentioned that to him after the match. I said, I really think we could have finished it in time if we had played faster, and we meaning him, because he was agonizing over like every decision. And I can kind of get that because it's a difficult matchup in a certain respect.
The mirror is tough.
Yeah, the mirror is tough, but I mean, he was taking like, you know, 30 seconds as to whether or not he wanted to play a land.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. I mean, like, there's only so many decisions to make. It's, and I haven't played the mirror much either, but I don't think, you know, so, you know, I was a little salty. I'll admit it. I was like, you know,
I saw that. I was like, oh,
because I was like, Keith. He had time. I mean, like, there wasn't like, there were times he had like literally one card in his hand and there was like nothing else on the board. Either play the card or don't.
Yeah, and I, you know what, I don't disagree. I was seeing some of that too. I mean, and I don't want to slam anybody. I love playing over there. Those guys are great.
He's a good guy. He's a good player. Super friendly. I like him a lot. I felt like the pace of play could have been faster. And
right,
you know, I made,
which could have benefited you. And I mean, he kind of benefited from the slower play.
Yeah, because he won the first game. But whatever. I mean, it is what it is. And you know, I went 2-2, and I felt like I could have done better. But. You know, I like the deck, and I'm hoping that once Oko gets banned, maybe it catches on a little more. Maybe people put more resources into it to maybe tinker with it. Because I'm not a deck builder. I'm more someone that, you know, that finds a deck that I like and I run with it until, you know, an innovation is made, and then I run with that innovation because, you know, these people have more time to spend on that type of thing than I do. So.
And I think Esper. I mean, here's the thing, and we should just get right into it. Let's go ahead and because you brought it up. So.
Main phase.
And let's be clear, folks. We are definitely beat the horse.
That poor horse.
Yeah, that poor horse is. And then I actually also have like an elk.
There's the elk.
So you're beating the elk, yeah.
There's the elk.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I programmed the soundboard to town today, but No, we should talk about that. I mean, I read an article today. Obviously, we're going to talk a little bit about Oko because who isn't? You know, it is kind of a dead horse. There isn't anybody out there who doesn't think that this deck is ridiculous and that it's warping meta. It's killing standard. But in that, I read an article today that was talking about the events this weekend, which we'll go over here during this phase because I think you've got the site up. But Esper Stacks had a decent showing. Control had a decent showing. You guys were winning some events. They were coming. I think there was a Control deck in Japan that came in second. I think there was one that came in like fifth in the US GP. And
I don't know if that was. I don't know if that was Esper Stacks though. Was it?
I think it was. I thought it was or blue white control.
It might have been Azorius control.
Yeah,
because. I know in France there was no control decks in the top eight.
Wasn't there one in the U.S. though too? GP there were three over the weekend.
Oh god,
there.
It's in friggin' Japanese. I can't read it. one I know.
Well, it was Epic Stream. I found the article that I'm referring to. It was on Epic Stream.
And here's what I know is that one tournament had 24 copies of Oko in the top eight. The other one had 28 copies of Oko in the top eight.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous at this point. I mean. Oko's everywhere.
And to top it off, I forgot about this. Did you hear about the vintage tournament that happened over the weekend?
I heard that there was one, and I heard Oko showed up there.
Oko showed up in the deck that won, and the final attack for lethal was an Elkified Black Lotus.
Wow. That's ridiculous. Wow.
The guy Oko'd his Black Lotus into an elk.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
And
you got to see
that
Black Lotus win.
By attacking for three with a lotus. I mean, come on.
That's okay, awesome. So the article I found, and it is on Epic Stream. It's right on the main page. They talk about Magic. They're saying in Grand Prix Nagoya, Yiming Zi made it to second place with his blue-white control deck that main decks two copies of Aether Gust, one copy of Tail's End, and three copies of Prison Worm. Because, you know, those are so useful for every other deck other than Oko.
Yeah, not really.
And at Grand Prix Lion, Florian Trotti finished seventh with a similar blue-white control. So people are doing a lot more blue-white than they are Esper.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the mana.
Yeah, well, it's not just the mana. I think, too, it's like that's where the removal is other than, you know, creature destruction, which, yeah, Oko, you kind of need it, but you're better off just, you know, exiling permanents than...
Yeah, but they lose the hand disruption that you get from Thought Erasure.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's still a premier turn two play, is to be able to say, what are you doing in here? Let me see what you're up to. And then sort of the control player can build their strategy around that, whereas here it's a little more reactive. And they can. It's a weird sort of thing that's happened, is that the rise of Oko has led to the decline in Three Fairy, which means people are playing Absorb again.
Yeah. I've been seeing that too.
I'm not upset about, because I love Absorb.
Shocker. You degenerate son of a...
Listen, I'd rather I would have rather they reprinted Undermine, but that's just me.
So, I mean, we do want to talk about that, because I think it is the biggest news out there right now. I mean, and this is a standard podcast. It would be remiss of us not to talk about Oko, unfortunately. And again, I understand that there is a horse that we are beating to a pulp.
We're turning it into an elk first, though.
Yeah, but that was nice of us. But, I mean, here's the thing. I mean... You know, Melissa, it's kind of great. We talked about this last week about, you know, are we going to see in 2 weeks? It's not even next week. It's 2 weeks. You have 14 more days, which I really, my brain cannot get around. You have an emergency banning for Field of the Dead. And, I'm going to call it an emergency now because, you know, you were supposed to have one November 18th and then you said you moved it up. And now you're having one November 18th. So... One of them's emergency. I'm going to go with the one you moved. You go and you ban Field of the Dead in an emergency banning. And now we're sitting here and, you know, I was watching some sort of podcast earlier today and they were talking about the fact, and I didn't even realize this, that if you go to play on Arena right now in ranked, you actually wait like 10 or 15 seconds sometimes for a match.
Yeah. No, Standard's terrible right now. I basically have only played, for the most part, draft, and I played, you know, the events that have been going on for the promo cards. And
yeah.
I play, like, maybe a match or so of Standard, and it's sort of like, it's a lame duck format, lame elk format.
Well, I mean, it is and it isn't. It does depend on your LGS, okay? Like, Kerwin's, well, yeah. where we were, there was only one that I saw in the room. Hannah was running it.
Part of the reason is because it's a $45 card. It's super expensive for Standard.
And I cracked two this week. I got three, man.
Yeah, that's lucky. I still haven't opened a single Planeswalker yet.
But I just, you know, and I'm pretty sure that Chris's store also doesn't have anybody running it. I think when we say it's warping the meta, it's warping the competitive meta. Yeah. I don't think your Friday night magics are, and I mean, it's so easy to get in Arena that people, it is warping Arena meta. But I mean, because it's a $45 card, you're not going to see it too often at like a Friday night magic or maybe even a PTQ, because who the hell can afford it? But it's crazy.
Yeah.
Oko is loco. And
Oko is broco.
Yeah. And we said last week, you know, I was like, you know, they're not going to ban Oko. Like, he's the face of... I still am kind of... Now I'm sitting like 30-20... I'm sitting like 30-70 on that. I still have some thought that they probably won't ban Oko.
Dead walker walking.
Yeah. You know, 2 weeks from now, banning Oko. I don't know because, but then Melissa DeTora came out during a Twitch stream last week when they were playing on Arena, and I'm sorry. First of all, I love this woman, like not like love, because I got a wife and you know I love her, but I mean just she's so damn genuine and real, mm-hmm. And she's just sitting there and she's playing. She's like pretty much like, yes, we're aware Oko is broken. We messed up. We didn't test Oko's plus one as an offensive ability, and I'm like.
Yeah, it was something along the lines of they didn't think that giving your opponent a 3-3 was
something that would happen.
Was something that would happen and something that would be an advantage to you as the controller of Oko because you're giving him a 3-3. But it's like, yeah, but you're turning off every answer that you have in the format because there's really, short of like Elder Spell or, you know, Swift End, there's nothing there that's not a permanent that can deal with Oko.
Well, that's true. And it got me thinking. I'm like, okay, are they going to ban it? I mean, could they errate it to say, okay, it turns it into a 3-3 and remove the removes all abilities?
They don't like functionally changing cards with errata.
I know they
errata
don't.
If they can avoid it now, because it makes
it's already been printed.
It's already been printed. It's hard for people to remember. Like in a case like Corpse Knight, when they screwed up and accidentally printed some of them as 2-3s and some of them as 2-2s, they're like, listen, it's actually a 2-2. Or with a Johnny's Pride Mate, they changed how the ability works from a may to a mandatory because the templating of the card changed. So they said, okay, all the ones going backwards, obviously, are going to say it like this now. So that was an errata. But they're not going to do it where it actually changes how the card really works.
And yeah, and I was thinking the same thing, but I've heard people ask that question, like, well, what if they just change it to a -1? Or what if they remove the and removes all abilities from the effect? I'm like, those seem like... That would be like something very easily programmed into Arena, and they could say, yes, okay, we screwed up, and we're going to program this in Arena this way. But cards the cards are permanent. Like 10 years from now, when you go to the store and you go to play this in a Commander deck, somebody may not remember that, you know, the +1 is a -1, or that the abilities stay on the card. I don't think they can do it.
No, and most people aren't going to have a copy of the Oracle rule sheet next to them when they play this card. They're like, by the way, hold on, let me go to volume 14, paragraph 6, talking about Oko. If Magic was like Hearthstone and it was digital only, then, you know, they could...
They would have fixed it by now.
It would have been a hot fix and a patch note, and, you know, it would have been like, oh, Oko got nerfed. It's like, well, you know, it saves the game.
Yeah. And I mean, Cody's right. Cody put in here, he's like, historically, they don't ban cards from the new set right away. I've always assumed it because it would affect set sales. Yes, Cody, you're 100% correct.
They've only ever done it a couple of times. I know one of them was Memory Jar, and that's because it was, you know, ridiculously broken.
Well, I mean, they banned Feldar Guardian.
They banned that. It was fairly quickly after the set launched, but it wasn't like right away.
Aetherworks Marvel was almost right away.
Yeah, but I think it was a similar time frame to this. It was sort of floating around for a little bit, and they're like, oh, crap.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I'm going to go looking for my Smuggler's Copters. I have a few of them, and I want to put them in that deck. But it does. It's nice that Melissa, like I said, she's kind of cool in that she's admitting that it's happening, that they know it's happening, that their heads are not in the sand. But on the other side of that, it's like, Mother Huckers, you have one job. Mm-hmm. Like, so you're telling me at no point while you're playtesting this does somebody think, I'm going to turn your goose into a 3-3 elk that can't tap for mana. Yeah. Like,
I know that, and I've said it before, that part of the issue that they run into is that play design and the playtesters are, you know, a couple dozen people, I think, something like that. It's not a huge group of people, and you can only get so many games in with a group of people that small, whereas once a deck is released into the wild, you've got literally millions of players playing millions of games, and once one person figures it out, it spreads like wildfire, and the chances of that happening go up exponentially when you have a larger pool.
And I get that with Field of the Dead. I can get behind that with Field of the Dead. You don't see... You know, they knew the scapeshift interaction, but
Oko
okay, I can
obvious.
Understand with Golos and, you know, with Yarok or whatever the hell its name is. I get that. I can get behind that with that. However, all right, this is not an interaction with other cards causing this other than the ramp. This is a functional thing on the card. Because you went ahead and said removes all abilities, which is really where now... Besides, you know, the pluses and minuses aside of like the +2, +1, and -5, and not really having a minus on it or a zero, that being put aside, design flaw, whatever you want to call it, the fact that you're not sitting there and you don't think to try changing your opponent's creatures to remove an ability that's stupid, like, I don't know, Questing Beast. Yeah. Oh, I want to take Vigilance, Death Touch, and Haste away, and it's 85 other abilities it has. Like, at no point do you think, and Questing Beast is in the set, and it's a mythic, so you've got to figure somebody's going to want to play with it. You know, to not have that thought process in testing? Like, really?
Yeah.
That's not... I can overlook a lot of things. I can overlook a lot of card interactions. But that's one of those things that seems kind of basic.
Mm-hmm.
At least to me.
They obviously pushed him because, you know, he's a 3-mana walker. He's got very powerful abilities. He's technically not the face of the set. I guess the Mark Rosewater sort of put the kibosh on that. He said Rowan is actually the face of the set.
Right, we know. But he's one of the faces of the set.
Yeah, but you know, she's the one that's on the booster boxes. She's the one that's on the ads. It's not Oko. They pushed way too far on this one. I mean, it doesn't make sense not to ban it, because if the plus one wasn't a plus one, if it was a 0 or a -1, or if he cost like 2 or 3 extra mana,
if it just said turn your creature into a 3/3,
yeah, only creatures you control.
There are 55 ways that they could have made this card not powerful but nerfed. Instead, it's kind of like God mode.
Yeah, it's well, I mean, again, it's been in the conversation for best 3-mana walker ever printed. And it's
up there.
It's a very good argument.
I'm still a fan of Liliana.
Lily's great. I mean, it's just, I don't think Liliana ever dominated a format like Oko has.
Oko has dominated Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, because
I'm going to just go out there and say that right now. It is not the format. Standard does not have the tools it needs to adapt, because we are, and I think it would be even different if they tried to drop this in Core 21 or the set that's after Theros, you know, where we have 6 or 7 sets in Standard.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with a post-rotation first set.
Yeah.
So we only have 5 active sets in Standard, 3 of which were really the last of a block. Like, it was the last time you're going to have, like, a real block.
Mm.
So they were designed to work together. And I can't help looking at Oko sometimes and thinking, were they trying to get this into War of the Spark? Like, you put this in War of the Spark, you might have, you know, you might have a few more answers. You'd have Wizard's Lightning. You had a lot more cheaper removal.
We'd still be at this situation now, because rotation would have happened and you would still be legal.
Yeah, rotation would have happened. It would still be legal. However, we wouldn't have had Gilded Goose. It might have snuck through.
No, well, Gilded Goose would have still been in
Throne of Eldraine, yeah.
In Throne of Eldraine.
But with the ramp, by this point, it just would have been a 3 walker.
But the people would have figured it out still. If this card was printed as is in War of the Spark, as sort of a preview as to what was coming, because people would be like, what the hell is a food token?
True.
You know? And I think that was one of the things, too. When they first spoiled it, they're like, what's a food?
It really was what we all kind of were like, a food token. What's this food token they're talking about? And,
yeah, so...
Look, it has extended art, and he looks remarkably, you know, androgynous.
Bottom line, the thing is, it owns Standard, it has a good presence in Modern, it has a good presence in Legacy, and it just won a tournament in Vintage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all you got to see. If you have a card that can go right into a Tier 1 deck in Vintage... and, you know, make you attack with a Black Lotus for the win, that tells you there's a problem, because it takes a lot for a card to break in on Vintage.
It really does. You're not wrong. And it stands to reason that, okay, yes, like I said, last week I was like, they're not going to do it. And like Cody said, they don't tend to ban cards from the initial set because it might impact sales. I think this will be the exception. Yeah. I'm beginning to come around to they're going to have to ban this in 2 weeks. Well, I mean, we have an MC this weekend.
Yeah.
Which is going to be a premier event.
Yeah, it's going to be Oko everywhere.
Oh, it's Oko-tastic. Yeah. Like, it's... And how do you not talk about it? Like, I feel sorry for the people that have to broadcast this on Twitch. How do you pretend that it's not happening? How is this not the top story? Yeah. How is this not a horse that you are going to beat for the next 6 hours?
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
There's no way that the the broadcast team can sit there with a smile on their face going, we have a diverse and healthy format that we're going to be showcasing today. We're going to show all these great decks on camera. No, it's going to be Bant food. It's going to be Simic food. It's going to be all kinds of food, 4-color food, 5-color food, 6-color food. I don't know what's going on, but they're all going to be Elks.
Yeah, it's going to be... And I mean, I think it's going to have to be like they had to do when Hazoret Red was the big thing.
Oh,
and,
this is so much worse than Hazoret Red.
Oh, it's 1,000 times worse. Or this, Teamer Energy. Well, I remember the event where Teamer Energy was like rolling everybody.
This is worse than that. This is Ravager Affinity.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And I wasn't watching Twitch back then because I don't think there was a Twitch.
Twitch didn't exist.
Yeah. But you're not wrong. This is a definite.
I lived through Ravager Affinity. I played Ravager Affinity. This thing scares the hell out of me.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in 2 weeks. You know, and it's weird to think because there is no doubt the meta is warped at this point. And this is having a horrible effect on Standard. Like, this is actually, we have had an amazing Standard season since the rotation last year where Hazoret went out and you lost the energy mechanic and all that great stuff. Like, all of a sudden, you know, we had this. We had the guilds, and we had War of Nicaea Allegiance, and War of the Spark, and M19, and 2020, and it was really healthy. And different decks won every week, to the point now where Standard is broken, not just because of Field of the Dead, but Oko as well. And like, it's to the point where nobody's playing. Like I said, and I was hinting to earlier, it's like you're sitting there in Arena and you're playing Standard. There is going to be times where you're going to wait for a game the ranked queue.
Yeah, and like, you know, we're talking like 10, 15 seconds as opposed to nearly instantaneously. Like 15 seconds isn't, it's not a long time. But for Arena, it's an eternity.
Yeah, and I think it is a fair indictment about Standard. And the fact that they're not supporting, you know, Brawl. I mean, they should turn Brawl on right now. If you want to do Wizards, if you want to do something in an emergency capacity, turn Brawl on and leave it on.
And Historic.
Yeah, and Historic. But I mean, and how are you not? And it was I forget who it was. I think I was listening to a podcast. It might have been the professor. He's talking about, you know, Pioneer in Arena not having it is a mistake, and he is not wrong.
No, he is absolutely correct. Like,
they're halfway there.
Yeah, and they've already, like, they've said that it's actually, and they've shown it with the Momir event. It's actually not that hard to add these older cards in. You can do a curated list and add the sets slowly over time, and you can get Historic in Arena, or not Historic, but Pioneer in Arena within a few years.
Screw Historic. Well, I mean, you could do it in 5 years.
But you have it start as Historic, right? You give it 24/7 availability on Arena where you can play it all the time. Don't care if it counts towards your quest progress or not, or at least
no,
just your,
you make
just
it
dailies.
Count towards your quest.
Just your dailies.
Because it's save Standard. It allows you to screw up Standard because at this point, your big money software where you're throwing all your money in this eSport, it is going to die on the vine. It is going to be Duel of the Planeswalkers all over again. And it's your fault. Like, it's your fault. You try to force us into this Standard, which, and I love Standard. I am the biggest proponent of a good Standard. I like playing Standard. Standard got me back into Magic. But if Standard sucks, I'm not going to play. I'll do my quests. And then I'll log off.
Yeah, that's about what I do. I try to get my dailies done, and then I'm like, all right, well, if I'm not drafting, I really don't feel like playing against Oko. I'm not going to stoop to the level and play Oko myself. I mean, I could on Arena. I can't do it on paper.
Right,
I could,
and that's just it. Anybody can do it on Arena, so you're seeing it a lot.
Yeah.
I actually have found a way to get around that, though. I built a mono-red deck, and I haven't seen Oko yet. Because they know that it'll roll it.
Well,
like,
you're playing,
mono red will roll.
Are you playing best of one or best of three?
BO1.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're not going to see as much Oko in BO1. That's a different meta. It's a different meta. So,
well, you see BO. You know what? You win in Oko wins in BO1. Yeah. He really wins a lot, but he's not going to win against Renagro.
But mono red's not viable in best of three.
I know it's not even close.
Yeah, and that's the difference.
But it's just this is bad. I mean, to the point where SCG, Star City Games, okay, they had a major event coming up either. It's not this weekend because this weekend's the MC, but I think it's next weekend.
They're invitational, yeah.
Yeah. And they changed it from Standard to Pioneer.
There was another tournament, NRG, the Energy Series. They actually had a Standard event in Madison, Wisconsin, I think it was.
And they canceled it because they had two people.
Well, they didn't cancel it. They only had two people sign up for Standard.
Yeah.
And it was a tournament that could hold like 100 or 200 people. And they changed the format to Pioneer.
Yep.
Because nobody wants to touch this format.
It is a problem. So at this point, I am going to say that you are probably correct last week. I have a feeling that in 2 weeks at the band, if not sooner...
It'll be 2 weeks because the MC is this weekend, and
they're not going to do another emergency
ban like that. They're going to wait for the 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I mean, Cody, again, I agree with you. They don't ban cards from sets. I've not seen it. It does happen, though. I don't think it. It is still possible that they might hogak it. They might be like, "We're going to take out," because it also worked with Feldar Guardian. They didn't. People were calling for Saheeli Ray to get nailed, and they nailed Feldar Guardian instead, and because Saheeli Ray was part of the face of the format. So it's still a possibility. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but if
highly
you ban,
not,
yeah, if you just ban, say they ban Gilded Goose and Nyssa, well,
still have turn two Oko.
You still have Arboreal Grazer. You still have Growth Spiral. You still have any number of ways to trick that damn thing out in turn two. And even if you get it out turn three, there are, if you're on the play, there are very few turn three answers for that card. That, yeah, you could have two black for Elderspell, but that's about it.
And the fact that you have to main deck Elderspell.
Right.
For one card.
Right.
Because Elderspell is the type of card that you want to hit like two or three targets with.
Right. And you have to do it like turn three, hit only Oko, and you don't have a Planeswalker to get the counter. Like, yeah. it's shitty. And, okay, Sorcerer's Spyglass, great card, absolutely. What is that, a four drop?
It's a two.
Oh, is it a two drop? But
it's
even still,
but
you have to know you're playing Oko.
Yeah. You're not going to main deck Sorcerer's Spyglass, because if you're playing a deck that doesn't have activated abilities... Or it's only mana abilities, and it's a dead card. You get to basically look at their hand. You get Urza's glasses.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's time. They have to do something. So I do believe that they'll probably ban Oko, because I think everybody's calling for it. I don't know anyone out there. Let me rephrase, because there are a lot of, like, trolls out on, like, the Reddits and the Facebook groups
like,
of the world.
Get good, guys. Yeah. Get good in Oko.
And I've found the perfect way to shut these people up. When I see this can answer it and this can answer it, my question always goes, by any chance, do you have four copies of Oko? Nobody ever answers. But I'm like, you know what? I get it. You have, you know, there's a reason I haven't bought an Oko. Because I don't want to spend 40, 30,
well,
25, however much on a card that's going to get...
Open three.
Huh?
I've opened three.
Well, I only had one at the start of last week, and I was really... And when I opened my second one, because I opened it up before we started playing, I went through my box. I'm like, oh, my God, could I play Oko tonight? And I didn't have, like, the deputies. I had one Gilded Goose. I didn't have four. I'm like, oh, I really can't put this together. And then, you know, but at the end of the night is when I opened my third one and a Questing Beast in the same freaking, like, four packs I grabbed. So I was like, this is a good night.
Those are good pulls.
Yeah, so, I mean, and believe me, there is a part of me. My wife said it best. She's like, if you think Oko's going to get banned, like, if you're sure, she's like, go sell that shit. I'm like,
but the problem
is, it's
not going to get banned. It's not getting banned in Pioneer that we know of. It's not getting banned in Modern that we know of.
Right. I think
it could.
It could. That's just it. I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, okay, we're going to ban it in Standard. We're going to restrict it in Vintage. And we're looking at possibly banning it in other formats. I'm sure that'll be... If they do it, if they ban Oko, they're going to make it a freaking event. They're going to be like...
Well, I'll say this. If they ban or restrict Oko in multiple formats on the 18th, we haven't seen that And that, it, I don't think we've ever seen it at once like that, but seeing something banned in multiple formats quickly, I don't think we've seen that since, like, Skull Clamp.
Yeah. But I think this card is as bad as Skull Clamp.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
This is if you're going to do it, this is definitely the card to do it with. So, I mean, is there anything else we want to talk about with this? We've kind of talked about it for almost 30 minutes now.
It's just it's omnipresent. It's everywhere. It is. There's no getting around this card, and it's a damn shame. That's all I'll say. It's a damn shame because I want them to print powerful cards. I want them to print, you know, ridiculous things.
Right.
They went too far.
Well, did they go too far, or did they not print answers in this set?
Half of one, half the other.
Like, you can go, you know what? I'd be down with a 3-mana Planeswalker if you gave me in this set, because don't make me wait for Theros, because again, you're going to ruin your standard, you know, or put him in Theros where you're putting out another set in, you know, in 60 days.
Yeah, but
or,
he's in the story for Eldraine. So.
I know he is, but the point I'm making is that, you know, if they had put him in there, I mean, because this is a pretty long time, too, between Throne of Eldraine and Theros because of the holidays. You know, they're not going to release Theros until late January, whereas normally, you know, it's like a 3-month cycle, and this is kind of like 3.5, almost 4.
Well, there's always a lull between the fall set and the winter set.
Right. Like, putting him, if they had put him in the winter set, like, they could have, you know, there'd be more, less time for it to really, really warp. Like, if they had switched Eldraine and Theros?
Yeah, the answer might have been a little bit faster.
Yeah. Well, because that's just it. I am good with a Planeswalker like this. If you give us the answer to nail it.
Yeah, yeah. But
because you did that with in War of the Spark with Elderspell. You really did. Like, yeah. Elderspell was how you dealt with everything.
But again, it was, you know, it's a flavor thing. It was a story-related thing. I'm okay with them pushing cards, and like you said, they need to have answers for them. But I don't know. It's just there's something with this one where it's just too big of a mistake.
It is, and I'm with you that I have a feeling in 2 weeks, which will be coincidentally probably our next show, they're gonna have that ban. So let's go ahead and get right into combat.
Combat phase.
And our combat phase tonight. Oh, look, Root Snare. Sorry.
Main phase.
We got no combat tonight. Because we have so much to do still. We were about 20 minutes out from the end of the show, but I really want to talk about Arena, first of all, this week. I mean, thank God for the Artisan event.
Yeah.
Holy cats. Again, standard. Dead. And so this week, they did kind of Super Pauper. They call it Artisan. I call it Super Pauper. It's like because it's commons and uncommons. Hmm. And basically, it's, you know, put together your best deck. And
yeah, you get some nice storybook card frames for some of the adventure cards in the set. Like the Mythic is Brazen Borrower. You get to, I think, Giant Killer and some of the other ones.
Yeah,
it was a fun event.
It was. I had a blast with it. I mean, I don't know what you played. I played a whole bunch of different decks. I did a mono green for a little while, had some fun with it. Mm. I did a mono black for a little while, and I hated my soul. Then I put together an Izzet deck that I was having a good time with, which was basically, designed around just playing, you know, standard Izzet stuff, and then mill and. I made a mill deck, which was because I wanted to piss people off. So
that's the first deck that I built was a mill deck.
Was it? Isn't it fun?
Oh God, it's so bad. I mean, bad in a good way, but it's just like you're just sitting there going, "Yep, yeah, half your deck's gone. It's turn two."
Sorry about that.
Hope you got some creatures left.
Sorry about that.
I'm so sorry. I won the first 3 games with that, and then I started losing a few games, and I was like. Maybe this is like the universe telling me to knock it off. So I switched over to mono red and eventually won my, last 2 games. So I got my 5 wins and I might still play it tomorrow because it's still there, I think, until the end of the day tomorrow or Wednesday. And then it goes away, which kind of sucks. But I know they're doing another one, I think, next week. but it's better than playing standard.
It's way better than playing standard.
You never have to worry about running into an Oko.
No. And that's just it. I had a good time with it. I also built a mono red, I forgot. And, you know, that's... Mono red's always fun to play. You know, and... You know, Cavalcade is good, and Scorch Spitter, and you just kind of go to town.
Yeah, at least the games are quick.
Yeah. You know, so we had a good time with that. I did play the other event a little bit. The Life Day or Earth Life.
Oh, yeah, I played that one, too.
And it was fun. It's kind of cool. And, you know, I had a good time with it, but I was like, I'm going to play this other one. And, you know, it was sad to see Brawl go away. Yeah, I really enjoy it.
It's back for its once-a-week queue on Wednesday.
Yeah,
once
exactly.
Once a week. Yay!
Because everybody wants to play on Wednesdays.
I don't understand why that's just once a week when it rotates just like Standard does.
Yeah, there's no reason to do it. It's literally because sometimes I think Wizards just wants to punish us.
You know what their response was?
For having a contrary opinion.
You know what their response was? Somebody was saying, why can't Brawl be every day? And they said, well, if people play it more, maybe we'll add it to every day. And it's like, well, how about you just add it anyway? Because it doesn't hurt anything. And you're not going to split your player base because there's like literally millions of people playing this game.
And literally millions leaving.
Yeah, nah, they're leaving in droves because Standard sucks. So give them an alternative. Give them something to do because you know what? The draft format on Arena sucks too because you're running nothing but mill.
Right. Because you're not playing real drafters.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, the computers are, like, allergic to drafting Secret Keepers. So you'll get one, like, 14th pick, pack 3.
Yeah. So I highly, yeah, I'm a big fan of, you know, I was a big fan of this event. I look forward to this weekend with it. You know, I'm playing, and I'm going up. I think I'm gold 3 now.
Hmm.
Because I got pushed back to silver because I was plat 2 or plat 1. Or plat 4, I should say. But, and so I've done okay with that. And like I said, since I switched over to a mono red fervent, you know, champion deck with Torbren as my win con, I'm not seeing Oko. And so I'm like, this is fun. This is better for me. And, you know, and I know within 5 or 6 turns if I'm going to win, and if I'm losing, I just can concede, and it's a quicker game. You know, I was playing Oko for a while because I was like, well, you know, I'll see what all the fuss is about. Yeah, you win, but you feel like a dirty bastard when you do it.
It's a lot cleaner. You feel a lot cleaner playing stacks.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Oh, I love
no,
it.
You don't.
It's much cleaner than playing Oko.
Shut up. No, it's not. You're a control. No. Control people are... You guys are just... You're evil.
Yeah,
you know, it was probably a control person that came up with Oko in the first place.
If you can't beat him, elk him.
I love elking. So.
Listen to the song of my people.
So, moving on beyond that. So, the Artisan event was good. We had a good time. But then Tuesday morning, I woke up to a whole lot of tweets. And I kind of thought they were BS. Apparently... Somebody went out to a Walgreens.
In South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. And apparently somehow bought 6 packs of Theros Beyond Death. And then proceeded to, which anyone would do, post them online for everybody to see.
Yep.
And again, this is our Surgeon General's warning. We are not going to talk about specific cards. Well,
let me adjust my tinfoil hat.
Yeah,
here.
But we do want to talk about this because it's definitely an event. I want to talk about it in an abstract way. I don't want to talk about the cards. I kind of want to talk about what happened because there are some out there who believe, and I'm not so sure I'm not one of them, that wonder if this was Wizards kind of trying to control the news cycle a little bit.
Let me just adjust the antenna. Hold on. I'm getting a signal. No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. But I'm only saying that because I got my tinfoil hat, and if I say it differently, they'll get into my head and steal my thoughts and turn me into an elk.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they'll turn you into an elk, but...
You don't know that, man. You don't know that. So... It already said... happening? What's going on?
I don't know, because here's the thing. The way cards are put into stores, okay, for the most part, Walgreens doesn't get a shipment from Wizards of the Coast. They either, usually, I don't even think they get it from a distributor. 9 times out of 10, most of these big box stores that are managed by corporations, like your Walmart, your Target, there's a card company, I forget the name of it, but they're rather famous, and they handle all of that. They come in, they do the plan, they do the shelving, they put the cards out in a box, they make sure it's nice and pretty, you know, and then
it's like
they,
your vending machine dude.
Yeah, and then they leave.
Yeah.
And that's how you can buy stuff in Walmart. So it's hard for me to come out to the idea that one store in South Carolina had a Beyond Theros set up when four other stores that might be on this person's route didn't.
Well, here's what I'm thinking happened. Even those card companies get their cards from someone else. So they got their shipment in. Obviously, Theros Beyond Death was part of that shipment. For whatever reason, whoever's job it was that day to sort out the stops didn't read the box that said, do not open before this date. Packed some onto that guy's, you know, into the tote, into whatever the hell he uses to make his route. This guy doesn't know Theros from poker cards. So he's like, oh, whatever, magic, stupid, demonic game. I don't care. Just warping kids' minds. Here, it's on the shelf. I'm done. I want to go home. And then, you know, one guy who happens to play comes into Walgreens, does a double take. Oh, what the okay, these aren't supposed to be on the shelf. Buy mine. And at first, I bought the premise that the cards were real. I discounted that they got them from Walgreens. Part of me was thinking that Wizards wants to take some of the heat off of themselves with this whole Oko thing.
Right. So I'm still kind of sitting in that camp.
Let's do some early spoilers. However, because what was happening is that, you know, a bunch of the commons weren't there. They had some uncommons. They pulled, you know, a certain mythic in a certain alternate art form that was like, okay, that's a god pull.
Well, that's just it. I'm kind of looking at this going, you pulled like a whole ton of mythics and rares.
Well, they pulled one mythic and, you know, five rares. But then they came back and they posted the tokens and the booster wrappers, and so it's...
Yes, because Wizards wouldn't have those.
Yeah, Wizards would have them, but it lends me to think that, you know, it's legit that somebody goofed and somebody... Because these kinds of things do happen. The timing couldn't be worse as far as conspiracies are concerned. But
I'm going to disagree with you wholeheartedly. I do believe 100%. There are too many checks and balances between this. Now, do I think that Captain gets paid $9 an hour to stock Walgreens shelves of Magic cards, you know, put out the cards he was instructed to? Absolutely. If that possibly could happen. And if it was 2 weeks before release, I could get behind that. However, I don't see how this could happen. I don't see how, you know, and the pulls he got, I mean, yeah, he got the Mythic Planeswalker.
Yeah,
he got the monster rares.
The pulls were rather ridiculous. Something like this has happened before.
Okay. Yeah, but how's to say it wasn't Wizards then either?
Well, what happened, it was this was more of a collation thing that happened. And it was more individual cards in a pack as opposed to entire packs of a yet-to-be-released expansion. There were cards that were in... I don't remember what set it was. It was like Dominaria Boosters or something like that, where there were core set cards accidentally mixed in with the regular booster cards. It was like commons from like Core 19 or something that got mixed in with Dominaria or Guild of Ravnica cards or something like that. And then there were also... You remember War of the Spark, they had that big leak.
Right,
where...
and leaks happen. But
yeah,
it also
happened,
it didn't happen this far back.
No,
eight
it didn't.
Weeks early.
It didn't happen this far back, but the cards exist at this point, obviously.
Of course they exist, and of course they're probably packaged, or at least partially. But I can't for the life of me understand. And again, who does this benefit? This does benefit Wizards because it changes the story.
It does change the story, but I would say that both theories are plausible. And both theories are reasonably expect either one of the stories to be true. That it was either, you know, somebody goofed at a distribution center and maybe got the boxes backwards, you know, where like the old stuff was supposed to be in front and it was the new stuff in front. You know, maybe somebody rotated their stock the wrong way, and or maybe a couple, again, it could have been a collation thing where some packs slipped through and got put into the wrong box when it got shipped out. These types of things, when you're talking about these massive shipments going out across the entire planet,
and there's going to be things like this. There's no real way for us to know either. It's not like you and I are going to be able to answer this question.
I'm gonna take this thing off. It's making my head hot.
Yeah, it's really got to be hot. Wow, you kind of look like a baked potato. But
I think I'm done on this side.
Yeah.
Steaming.
You know, I mean, there's going to be no real way for us to know that. But I wanted to bring it up because it does kind of... Wizards has had a week. They really have had a week with that. And they've had some other great stuff. Like, I'm liking the Commander stuff. We can talk about that a little bit in our next show. The Commander announcements, if people want us to. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, that's a pretty great announcement. And it does raise some questions. I mean, moving Commander to be more of in line with the releases of, you know, the regular sets, I'm not sure how I feel about that. There's a part of me that likes it, there's a part of me that doesn't.
It's never a bad thing to give Commander more exposure.
No, not at all.
And again, I think they said that I think they've done some analytics saying that most people learn how to play Magic through Commander.
Well, I don't know how they can prove that. It'd be interesting.
Like more than like it's, but it's not like, you know, like not like a majority, but it's like a plurality. It's like 51% or something like
right.
that.
Right.
Most people, like when they play Magic casually at home, they're playing Commander.
True.
Because you're allowed to play with all your cards. I mean, one copy of each, but there's no, you know, there's a small banned and restricted list. If you're playing casual, you know, tabletop, there's no banned and restricted list. You just go whatever the hell you want, and attraction can run wild. Like it does anyway. But I would love to be able to play more Commander if I had a play group near me. I don't, so I have yet to play the pre-con that I bought.
Well, we'll work on that.
Yeah.
So, with that, though, I want to pivot from Theros real quick because we are running out of time. I want to talk about the Pioneer format.
Yes.
We did have some news today right before the show. Wizards announced mid to late last week that they were going to start doing, for the foreseeable future, Pioneer weekly bannings. That they are going to be aggressive as far as getting this format, you know, under control. So, the first one came out this week, and where is it? Do you have it up, by the way?
Yeah, I know what they banned.
Okay.
They banned Felidar Guardian.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they
that was
banned
coming.
Leyline of Anticipation, and they banned Oath of Nyssa.
So again, not bad.
Now, the reasoning that they gave for Felidar Guardian was that obviously the card had broken things before.
Right, and that Saheeli was going to. And, Saheeli
breaks it. But what they wanted to do was they wanted to leave Saheeli in because they knew that... well, here's what they said. They said the Felidar Guardian-Saheeli-Rai combination threatens metagame diversity by requiring decks to present specific types of early interaction while developing their own strategy or else immediately lose the game. Rather than allow this combination to warp deck building and the metagame around it, we're choosing to ban a card. Of the two options, Felidar Guardian is the most likely to break again with our existing or future cards. So they knew something's probably coming down the pike that's going to break this in half.
Yeah.
So they gave that the nix. Oh, and it wasn't Anticipation. It was Leyline of Abundance.
That's right. Which is the green one.
It's the green one that, and when Chord 20 came out, they're like, oh, look, this is a janky one. But it basically gives you free Nykthos ramp.
Yeah.
Which is kind of gross. And there were some really sick turn two plays with this, I remember seeing. So I'm not surprised they banned this.
No, I'm not either. And Oath of Nyssa, you know, that's pretty obvious as well. I mean, if I were to say what's coming next, I have a strange feeling they're going to try to nerf Phoenix. Because Phoenix is still... You know,
what would you think would be the target?
Oh,
Treasure Cruise,
huh?
Treasure Cruise,
yeah. Which is going to break mine. because I again, you use Treasure Cruise. You're going to use Treasure Cruise in Aetherworks too, because it fits in perfectly.
Well, it's just it'll be replaced by Dig Through Time.
Probably. You know, I could see them banning. I don't think they're going to ban any of the energy mechanic yet, and it's almost like they want energy to actually be a thing.
Well, I think there's enough stuff in the format to sort of counteract all whatever shenanigans energy wants to do.
And I think Emrakul at some point.
Promised End?
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll have to wait and see. I do like that they're being aggressive. I do like that they're saying, look, we're not going to let things stagnate. If something looks like a problem, we're going to kill it now. It sort of has me a little bit gun shy about jumping into the format because my collection only goes back to about Almancat. So I would have to buy a lot of individual singles from these sets going back. And granted, there's not a whole lot of really big money cards in Pioneer, but I don't want to spend, you know, 30, 40, 50 bucks or whatever it's going to be to get those cards I need. And then in a week and a half, it gets banned and I haven't even had a chance to play with them yet.
Right.
So I'm sort of holding back for maybe a few weeks. See, let it settle a little bit. And then I'll build Simic Nexus.
And I have some of the pretty good, you know, I go back pretty far. So that's why I'm kind of excited. I mean, I'm starting to think about putting Hazoret together. Because Hazoret's a deck again. It is in the top eight. So, you know, it is Bulmok Courier, Gitu Lava Runner, Swift Spear, Soul Scar, and one Hazoret.
Yuck.
I'm like, yay!
God, where are my
and four Ramen
Pollens? Yeah, where are my Haze of Pollens?
So there is that. So there, you know, and next week they'll have another banning, and you know we'll talk about that. But finally, where we want to end tonight is too. Last week at the end of the show, and you know what, we might as well just go ahead and, you know, we'll do this right now.
End step.
Because we usually talk about our reviews during our end step, and so we did get some in. We said last week we wanted 5 reviews to do the drawing. Well, I'm going to take pity on you guys because there's only 3 new ones, and I'm actually going to include John as the 4th one. Rochester Computer Guy, I'm not going to count you. You did it in January. So there are 4, so I'm going to let this go. So, Aramis.
Yes.
Hold on. I'm going to write down on my...
I'm actually texting you my code.
No. I don't want your code. What I want you to do is, this is the way we'll do this, because I don't think you've been able to get into, I don't think you've been able to get into the podcast, and actually what I'll do is I'll just build a code here. Aramis, I want you to choose a number between 1 and 4.
Between 1 and 4. Well, I've always been partial with 3.
3?
Yeah.
Okay, so the winner and of our 7 packs... So Aramis has 6, I have 1, and what you need to do is you'll need to email us and, I can't believe I'm saying this. The winner is my butt.
Yes. Oh, that's awesome.
My butt.
My butt.
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah.
That's
my butt.
Awesome.
What I'm going to have you do, my butt... is get a hold of us, email us at podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. If any of you guys try to scam this, the way we're going to do this is I'm going to have my butt log into iTunes and make a change to his review somehow, which, you know, it gets reviewed by iTunes again or something. I'll have him change a word to something else, and then, you know, that way I'll know it's him. I'm going to read you all 4 reviews that have come in. But my butt is our winner, and his review was actually, and I love this, by the way, he's like, love the personalities, great listen for most casual standard players, and then in parentheses, the son of a gun, promo packs offered for reviews.
Yeah.
Dick. No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking, sorry. Thanks for pulling back the curtain on that one, my butt. But my butt, you still win the cards. So, in March, Johnny the Man, who I think it's Johnny's one of our first fans, he actually wrote, been looking for standard podcasts for a while, as mentioned in this cast. Hey, they are exceedingly hard to find. Great discussions, and I don't get the better than you vibe that I've gotten from other MTG casts in the past. That's because I didn't insult you like I did my butt. keep up with the great content, guys. On Thursday, the Goose3M, he wrote, as a new MTG player, I appreciate the focus on casual standard format and look forward to the discussions every week. And then finally, Hano928 wrote, I love the conversation on this show. It's like, you get me. So, guys, thanks for the reviews. We do appreciate it.
And we do get you.
And here's how this is going to work. I actually got some more codes from Kerwin's. They gave us some promo codes the other night. So here's what I'm going to do. This next contest, okay, we're gonna keep this going for a little while. And we'll talk it up every week. It's going to be a month long. So here's how this works. And if you did not win this time, you will be entered in next time. So everyone but my butt. My butt, you've got your packs. Congratulations. Next time, we're going to probably give away, I'm not going to say how many because I'm not sure exactly how many I got from Kerwin's, and I'm going to want to space these out. But you'll at least get one or two arena packs. So, I mean, this one is the biggest one. It's 7. This is definitely going to my butt. Yeah, I'm just having fun with that.
I love it.
But because my butt, he needs those. So, but yes. So this is how it works, is that if you have not left us an iTunes review, and you do not have to be an iPhone user to do it, I don't believe. You just kind of have to go through the iTunes on your computer or whatever. Most people have an iTunes account of some sort. And leave us a review there. Leave us a review, and then what we'll do is next month, at the last show of the month, we'll do the same thing again. We'll do a random drawing. So congratulations, my butt. We do appreciate it. So, but with that, we've already played the music, but I'll just do it again because I love it so.
End step.
So Aramis and I are going to start picking up our cards. We're going to start putting things away, rolling up our little play mats, running our trash over to the can because, damn it, your mother does not work at this store. But both Aramis and I wanted you guys to know that we do stream Arena on the Planeswalker Podcast channel on Twitch. Look us up there at Planeswalkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
And before I talk about my Twitch channel that's not really been active the last few weeks, a little quick programming note. We will not have a show next week.
I was going to do that at the very end, but okay.
Well, you know what? I'm preempting you. We're not going to have a show next week, and I'm also not going to be streaming this week or next week at all. So it kind of works out. So the next time I'll be streaming will probably be after the banned and restricted list comes out.
Right.
So, which is great, because then we'll actually be able to play Standard again.
Yes.
So when that time comes, and I'm streaming on Twitch, you can follow me at RMECWRX. I also link my channel to the show's channel for Planeswalkers Podcast. So just look that up for that. But if Twitter is more your speed and you want to follow the show, you can find us at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter is at WRBenson. I don't really post there that much. I really have it only so I could follow Wilson Phillips. But, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just look up Planeswalker Podcast or go to Facebook.com/Planeswalker. And there you can like and follow our page. You can watch us record this on Monday nights. And, a programming note is that, obviously, Aramis is going to be out of town. However, if there is some major, major news, I could see myself doing a short, mini broadcast to just say, this happened, blah, blah, blah. So stay tuned and, but all of that. And again, if anyone wants to do a Pioneer podcast, we can talk, get a hold of us. But Facebook.com/Planeswalker.
And finally, you can send us emails and even ask us for advice in our Ask Aramis section. Haven't gotten any emails in the last couple of weeks, so I'm hoping we can get some more in there soon. And we use that section so I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. You can also use email to give us feedback, let us know how we're doing, let us know if there's something you want us to talk about. So if you're interested in sending us an email, our email address is podcast@planeswalkerspodcast.com.
And finally, we want to talk about the iTunes reviews. You can go to iTunes, leave us a review, as well as anywhere else you get this, inside Spotify or anything else. Leave us a review there. Let us know that what you think of the show. It definitely helps. It brings more exposure to the show. And don't forget that at the end of the month, we'll have another drawing for some more arena promo packs there. But at this point, Aramis and I are going to sign off for 2 weeks. We'll be taking next week off, but we will be back the following week. We'll be talking Banned and Restricted. We'll be talking all sorts of craziness. Unless something explosive happens next week, we'll be seeing you guys then. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you very much for listening. We're really glad you guys are here. And to always remember to leave some of your man untapped, because you never know when you need it. Take care.